I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for Africa Update. This week we have news from all over the continent, starting with Sudan. The UN convinced President Bush not to slap heavy new sanctions on Sudan, but in his speech Wednesday at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, Mr. Bush repeatedly called the crisis in the Darfur region genocide. NPR's Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt told me earlier about some positive developments in that country.
Well, the al-Bashir government has finally agreed to let in a UN force. You know, that's been going on for some time. He's been resisting, but now he's agreed to allow 2,000 peacekeepers in and also to allow in attack helicopters. That had been a sticking point. And this is really critical. And the significance of it is that, as you know, there have been over 200,000 people killed, 2.5 million driven from their homes in Darfur. So everybody is optimistic, but cautiously, because all the T's have not been crossed and the I's dotted.
Charlene, what is behind this change of heart on behalf of the Sudanese government? What has made them really decide to step up and open up their country to the UN?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of pressure, not only from Western nations, but I think even more significantly from Africa. South African President Thabo Mbeki was just there as an envoy from the Southern African Development Community, which met on the issue recently. And also China, which has a huge stake in Sudan. It's getting oil from there, and it's heavily invested in the country. The West had threatened to embarrass China's hosting of the 2008 Olympics as the Genocide Olympics. And some people think that that might have had something to do with it. But at any rate, everybody weighed in and the government has caved in.
So let's move on to the Ivory Coast. There's more good news on the continent. Possible peace deal in one of the continent's ongoing conflicts. Tell us about the deal.
Well, the peace deal between the government and the northern rebels was signed last month with the ex-rebel leader of the New Forces rebel group as the new prime minister in a new power-sharing government. Laurent Gbagbo, the current president, remains president, but the prime minister's mandate is to unify the country and pave way for elections. Now, several peace agreements, as you know, have failed in the past to end the crisis and has left the country divided between the rebel-held north and the government-run south. But now there are concrete signs that the war is really over, as President Gbagbo himself said this week.
So, Charlene, what are some of the concrete signs that this is a real solid peace deal?
Well, in recent days, the two sides have begun dismantling a military buffer zone that had divided the country. And both the president and the prime minister inspected the first joint parade of forces since the 2002-2003 war. So, you know, with the president saying the war is really over, this is good news for the people of Ivory Coast and the region.
Well, finally, we want to talk to you about this groundbreaking event in Johannesburg that you were a part of. You're always in the middle of matters. It was a transcontinental conversation called Leadership Matters. What exactly went on?
Well, in addition to having fun, let me tell you about the group that hosted it. APARC, the African President Roundtable, is a Boston-based organization headed by Dr. Charles Stith, former U.S. ambassador to Tanzania. And the principal mission is to study the trends of democratization and free market reform in Africa. Now, this was a transcontinental conversation, video conference held simultaneously in Boston, Los Angeles, and Joburg. And the theme, Leadership Matters, was meant to honor people who have contributed to Africa, like Los Angeles-based Bishop Charles Blake. He has an organization called Save Africa's Children, which focuses primarily on orphans. And then Mozambique's former president, Joaquim Chissano, for his post-presidential leadership of the Africa Forum, which is an informal network and platform for African heads of state and government leaders and others to support Africa's political and economic reforms. Then South African President Thabo Mbeki was cited for his leadership in bringing peace to countries on the continent and promoting the African Renaissance. And finally, there was a new voice, the new Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, Asha Rose Migoro.
Many people were hearing her in that capacity for the first time. What was she talking about?
Well, she spoke about the challenges facing Africa, including rising poverty rates, hunger, AIDS, and infant mortality.
Some may suggest that this stalemate stems from failure of leadership and resolve. But I urge you to look again. People like Presidents Mbeki and Chissano epitomize a new type of African leader, These politicians are democratic, they are engaged, and they are committed to making a difference.
She also talked about the need for support from the international community, which she says is lagging behind its commitment to Africa.
Consequently, we must recognize that the greatest shortage today is not of resolve, but of resources. For instance, it is noteworthy that excluding debt relief for Nigeria, assistance to sub-Saharan Africa rose by only 2% last year. Donor nations and development partners should demonstrate leadership by bringing the quality and quantity of their development assistance in line with the stated commitments.
And also, there were some young people there, weren't there?
Yes, they were from around the continent. Let's hear what graduate student Indiana Bass Okwe from Nigeria, who is studying at the University of the Witwatersrand, thought about the quality of leadership on the continent.
I think the future is here for leadership. You know, it's past the years of, you know, military regimes and looting and all of that. There's more decisive and focused leadership from African leaders.
So, Charlene, it seems like the next generation really has its eye on leadership. And Giabanga.
Thank you, too, Farai.
That was NPR Special Africa Correspondent Charlene Hunter-Gault.